Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim Nun Beis. We are Nun Alpha Mud Beis. We are a little bit towards the top of the Amud. We're going to be continuing our discussion from yesterday regarding Minhagim. Here we are in the fourth parak of Pesachim, and the topic of discussion throughout the entirety of the fourth parak is Minhag. And the idea is that there are various Minhagim that spread about amongst the Jewish people, and they are regional. And when you are traveling from one region to another, so how should you conduct yourselves? So that's the basic question of the parak. And what does this parak have anything to do with Pesachim? So there's a minhag on Erev Pesach not to work in the morning. After Chatzos, as we learned already, so there's a halacha that one's not allowed to do any kind of work after Chatzos on Erev Pesach in preparation of Pesach, and also because of the Karban Pesach. We really, we didn't flesh that out so well. But anyway, but there is a bona fide halacha in Isser not to do malacha after Chatzos on Erev Pesach. But what about in the morning of Erev Pesach? So that is subject to a minug, and so it's going to be Taliyah Minug Amakum, whatever your particular community holds by. And if you're traveling from one to another, so that's what we learned in the Mishnah, and that is basically the Mishnah says that you're always going to follow the Chumrah. The Mishnah, however, does get a little bit confusing, because the Mishnah then goes on to point out that make sure not to get involved in Machlokas, meaning that when you're traveling to a new location, so it's going to be very important that despite the fact that your minhag is a little bit different from where you're from, nevertheless, as in your current situation, so you should make sure not to be involved in any kind of machlokas. That's a little bit confusing. How does that work exactly? Based on the fact that you always have to carry over your chumras? So the Gemara is going to ask that question, and we're going to answer that question in today's daf. Based on this idea of minhag amakom, so the Gemara noted yesterday, if you go back to the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf, Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, so there were minhagim regarding particular fats of an animal, right? The chalev of the yeser, of the fourth stomach of the animal, which is shaped like a bow, the interior fat lining of that stomach. So that is mutter or aser. So meikar din is mutter. However, the bnei bava had a minhag not to eat it. Bnei Eretz Yisrael had went by the strict halacha in which they did eat it, and bnei bava did not eat it. So what's the story in terms of, let's say you're in Eretz Yisraelnik, and you go to Bavel. So are you allowed to eat the Esser? So presumably the answer is no. And now presumably the answer is no, and really it's not that clear cut in terms of what the practice should actually be. So you go back to yesterday's daf, you'll remember that Rabbi Bar Chana, so he said to his sons, look, you kids are B'nai Bavel now. You live here in Bavel. And as far as you're concerned, you cannot be eating the chalev of the Esser under any circumstance, right? Not befanai, not shalom befanai, you can't eat it. However, I saw Rabbi Yochanan, right? This is Rabbi Bar Chana speaking. He says, I saw Rabbi Yochanan, meaning once upon a time when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, so I saw Rabbi Yochanan, and he ate this particular fat of the animal, and kedai hu Rabbi Yochanan l'smachalav befanav v'shalom befanav. So as far as I'm concerned, so I'm good. I'm always going to have a heter. So you on the other hand, you who did not see Rav Yochanan eat it, so you can't do so. Okay, now, as I pointed out yesterday, the Gemara is very difficult. It is very confusing because if he has to abide by the chumras of the location that he's in, so while he's living in Bavel, so he shouldn't be eating it under any circumstances, meaning whether he's with Rav Yochanan, not with Rav Yochanan, it doesn't matter. The Gemara asked that question yesterday. We answered the question yesterday. And when all said and done, it's difficult. It's a difficult sugya. No, there's no question about it. But nevertheless, that's what Rabbi Bar Chana says to his children. You cannot eat the chalev of the Esser under any circumstance. I can eat it pretty much under every circumstance. I already pointed out yesterday that from a chinuch standpoint, that is a little bit challenging. Right? From chinuch now, you're gonna be mekel. You're telling your children they have to be machmir. Okay. Right, we also noted that yesterday. Anyway, that was one practice of Rabbi Bar Chana, and the Gemara noted yesterday that it's not perfectly consistent with another practice of Rabbi Bar Chana. So Rabbi Bar Chana says that he was together with his own Rebbe, right? And his own Rebbe went and ate svichim. Now svichim is anything that grows out in the field during the Shemitah year, but grows on its own. Meaning you didn't plant it, you didn't harvest, you didn't violate Shemitah at all. Svichim are just simply natural growth, natural growing products out in the field. So So under those circumstances, Sfichim are Asr or Mutter. So throughout Shas, you're going to hear again and again that Sfichim are Asr. Now, Asr, why? So you didn't plant and you didn't harvest. So one of the discussions that really comes up in yesterday's daf is that whether it's the Asr Midrabban or Asr Midaraisa. The safest play, the easiest way to say it, is that Sfichim are Asr Midrabbanan, because there was no violation of Shemitah, it just simply grew on its own, right? These were naturally growing products, so under those circumstances, they should be Mutter Maker Adin, but the Chachamim were worried, because the Chachamim say once you go out into the field and you're able to collect some produce, so then what's to stop you from collecting produce that you're not allowed to collect? So the Chachamim basically banned the consumption of Sfichim. Any natural growing products out in the field are going to be prohibited, and that is a Isser Midrabanan. That's the easiest way to say it, the safest way to say it. However, there is an opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which we're going to see in just a moment. Rabbi Akiva holds that's an Isser Daraisa. Let's assume right now that we're subscribing to the view of Rabbi Akiva, even though he's a minority viewpoint. So now let's go back to Rabbi Barbachana, where Rabbi Barbachana says that on an occasion, I was following my Rebbe, and my Rebbe went to head into the garden, and he ate Sfichei Kruv. And he gave it to me, and he said the following to me. Look, when you're together with me, so I'm eating Sfichei Kruv, right? Sfichei Kruv are the natural growing cabbage during the Shemitah year. So I'm eating it, so you can eat it as well. But Shelo Befanei, but when you're not with me, so then you cannot eat it under those circumstances. And Rabbi Barbachana's Rebbe explained, look, I saw the Rashbi eat it myself. So as far as I'm concerned, Kedaihu, the Rashbi is concerned, the Rashbi ate it. So Kedaihu, Rabbi Shimon, Meyochel, Ismachalav, Befanav, Shalav, Befanav. Good. You, on the other hand, you didn't see the Rashbi eat it, so therefore you can only eat it with me, but not when you're not with me. That's the Rebbe of Rabbi Barbachana. So as we pointed out yesterday, and this is where we ended off shir yesterday, slight inconsistency between Rabbi Barbachana, meaning to his kids and in terms of eating the chelov of the Yeser. So he said to them, look, you kids never saw Rabbi Yochanan eat the chelov of the Yeser. So therefore, under no circumstances are you allowed to eat it, even when you're together with me. On the other hand, the Rebbe of Rabbi Barbachana regarding the eating of Sfichei Kruv, which is also a controversial food, we'll explain that better in just a moment. So his Rebbe said to him, look, when you're not with me, you can't eat it, but when you're with me, you can eat it. Okay. The Gemara doesn't resolve. The Gemara doesn't address the fact that it's slightly... the Gemara acknowledges that there is a slight inconsistency, but that's it. The Gemara doesn't do anything more than that. Now, the Rashbi says that Sfichei Kruv can be eaten. No other Sfichim can be eaten. So, my Rabbi Shimon. So now, we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday in the Gemara. Nanaf Amud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the top of the Amud. So this position, Rabbi Shimon, regarding Sfichei Kruv, what is it predicated on? Detanya Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol Asvichem Asurin Chutz Mitzvichei Kruv She'in Kayot Behem BeYerek Asada. So Rabbi Shimon here in this Mishnah, right? It's the Gemara calls it a Braisa. It's very similar to a Mishnah in Shvi'is in the ninth Perek. Anyway, comes out that Rabbi Shimon in this Braisa said that all Svichim are going to be also with notable exception to Svichei Kruv. Why? Because In Kayot Behem BeYerek Asada, because you don't find it out in the field. Now, exactly what that means, so Rashi really struggles in terms of saying a pshat of what it means. He quotes a pshat from his Rebbeim. He's not particularly happy with it. Near Rebbeinai, Rashi writes at the tail end of Rashi Dibra Maschel, She'in Kayotim and Biyar Kasada. So Rashi writes at the tail end of this Rashi, V'near Rebbeinai, D'tam Mishum D'kruv, Einu Kala L'chaya Koyimos Achorev. That during the entire winter, so there's always going to be cabbage out in the field. There is no Shas Biur. There's no time where it is going to ever come to an end, and so therefore a leniency regarding the Sfichei Kruv. Okay, whatever the reason is, the Rashbi is mako by Sfichei Kruv. And the Chacham are of the opinion that all Sfichim are going to be also even Sfichei Kruv. Good. So you have a major machlokus Tanayim, whether or not one is allowed to eat Sfichei Kruv. And if we could just simply distill it, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's Mutter. According to the Chachamim, it's Aser. Rabbi Shimon over here represents a minority position. So now you understand that anyone who is relying on the Rashbi, so you're doing so against the majority position. So now you understand that Rabbi Barachana's Rebbe said, look, I saw the Rashbi eat Sfichei Kruv, therefore I'm going to eat it myself. You never saw him eat it, so when you're not with me, you're not allowed to eat it. So now we understand a little bit better that it's the eating of Sfichei Kruv is a bit of a controversy. Now, the Gemara notes over here that this Braisa that we just learned together, machlokus between the Rashbi and the Chachamim of this Braisa, v'tarvay aliba de Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara here frames the debate. And that is that the debate is only within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. D'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, hein lo nizra lo nesof es tefuasenu, am Rabbi Akiva v'chima achra shein zor me'echa usfin. So, without going through the intricacies of the drasha over here, Rabbi Kiva notes that in the pasuk regarding the description of Shemitah, it says that, look, during the Shemitah year, we didn't plant, and we didn't collect. Now, if you didn't plant, there's nothing to collect, right? So, mikan l'sfichin shein asurin. So, over here, Rabbi Kiva has a drasha that says that sfichin are asur, which means that according to Rabbi Kiva, sfichin are asur medaraisa. Now again, as I mentioned in the beginning of Shir today, the conventional way to say it, the easiest way to say it, is that Tzvichin is an Issa D'Rabban and not Issa D'Raisa. Meaning it grew out in the field and without any intervention, we didn't plant, we didn't plow, it just simply grew out in the field, right? Natural growth out in the field. So, mi ikar adin it's mutter, and the Chachamim said no, because once we start getting comfortable with the idea of going out into the field and collecting the Tzvichin, so then we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna plant and harvest, and then we're going to tell other people that's tzvichin. That's the easy way to say it. Meanwhile, according to Shita's Rabbi Kiva, it's an Isser D'Oraisa. Fine. So according to Rabbi Kiva, it's an Isser D'Oraisa. And now within the Braisa that we just learned together, so they're both subscribing to the Shita Rabbi Akiva, and now in terms of Tzvichei Kruv, so what's the issue? So, b'may kamiflegi, Rabbanan Savri Gazrin Svichei Kruv, Atu Shar Svichei Da'ama, Rabbi Shimon Savri Lo Gazrin Svichei Kruv, Atu Svichei Da'ama. And over here, the only question becomes whether or not Svichei Kruv is going to be Aser as a Gzera Atu all other Svichim. All other Svichim are Aser Midaraisa Svichei Kruv, we're going to be Mekel. And again, why we're going to be Mekel by Svichei Kruv? So let's say it over like Rashi, because there's no time that it's ever going to be exhausted out in the field. There's always going to be available during the entire season. So therefore, it's not subject to this Isser D'Oraisa. So fine, so Svichim, Svichei Kruv are not going to be Aser, but if I eat Svichei Kruv, am I going to end up eating other Svichim? So that's the machlokes between the Tanaim. So Rabbi Shimon, the Rashbi says there's no such Gzera, and the Chachamim says there's such a Gzera. Okay, Ad kind of takes us to the end of the discussion regarding Svichim. And now what comes out over here is that we are just simply in the middle of a lengthy discussion of the Gemara regarding Minhagim and what is going to be the story regarding where you're moving from one location to another, and do those Minhagim carry over. And we saw it now in the context of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael eating their chelev, which is mutter, in Bavel. So again, Rabbi Barchana did so. The eating of the Svichei Kruv, the truth of the matter is that's not really a function of minug. That's much more a function of, it's a machlokus between the rab and the yachid, and we do have those students of the Rashbi who are mako. Okay. Anyway, we are going to continue now in the Gemara 1 Nun Alpha Midbeis. We're at the two dots and haolech mimakom. Okay. And now what we're going to try to do is understand the Mishnah, and it's going to be a bit of a challenge understanding the Mishnah, because the Mishnah gave us two rules, and those two rules don't necessarily coordinate. Rule number one in the Mishnah is that regardless of where you're coming from or where you're going to, so you're always going to adopt the chumrah of either the place you came from or the place that you have, the place of your destination, the place that you're currently in. That's the Mishnah's rule. And then the Mishnah says, and oh, by the way, make sure to always not deviate from the current minhag of where you are, because otherwise it's going to lead to machlokas. And we don't want that. Okay, and the Gemara now is going to note that these two positions of the Mishnah are not necessarily in agreement. Bishlama, the Gemara starts off the discussion, middle of Nanafa Midbeis. Bishlama, olech mimakam shosim lamakam sheinosim nosim alav chumimakam shalach l'sham v'ayishan adam imnea machlokas v'lo le'aved. So I understand if, let's say, the minhag where you come from is to do work on the morning of Erev Pesach. And then it happens to be that you travel to a place where the minhag is not to do work. And I totally understand. You're going to be machmir. Machmir over here means that you're not going to work. And also you're not going to deviate from the local location, which is that they don't work, and good. And you're not going to come to machlokas. So the Gemara says that part of the Mishnah makes perfect sense. But now let's plug it into the next scenario. Vinavid. So the Gemara says, let's say you come from a place where they don't do work, and now you're currently in a place where they do work, and now and what you should do is you should accept the chumrah in which you came from. So you have to adopt either the chumrah you came from or the chumrah that you the chumrah of the place that you came to, whichever is more machmir. And that means now that you're going to end up in a place where they are working. You come from a place where the minig is not to work. Again, that's a chumrah. So that means that it's to say that you shouldn't work. So Gemara says that's fine, but then that doesn't conform with the next part of the Mishnah, because the next part of the Mishnah says, oh, and by the way, make sure to behave in a manner that doesn't elicit machlokas. So over here, everybody else is working. You're not working. So people are going to look at you and say, well, what's the story? The minhag here is that we work. What are you doing? Not working. Isn't that going to result in machlokas? So Amar Abaye Reisha. So Abaye says, okay, you're right. Meaning that if you want the two lines of the Mishnah to agree with one another, so you're just going to have to say that the idea of making sure to conform to local minhagim and to avoid machlokas is only going on the first scenario, not the second scenario. Okay, so Abaye says you're right. The second point of the Mishnah is not going to always be true. Okay, that's one way to say the Mishnah. And Rava Amar Lo Lamaseifa V'Achikama. And Rava says, no, you don't have to say that. It's specific to our particular example of the Mishnah. It actually works out because Ein Bezum Imneshinu Amachlokas. So because over here, let's say it doesn't matter which scenario it is, whether you're coming from a place that works and you're going to a place that doesn't work. Good. So what are you going to do? Adopt the local chumrah, and you're not going to work, and it's going to avoid machlokas. And even in the flip scenario, where you come from a place that doesn't work, and you go to a place that does work on Erev Pesach. So over here, what should be your practice? You should keep the chumrah of the place that you came from, and you should not work. What about machlokas? So Rava says, yeah, it still works out over here. Why? Somebody sees you're not working. So is he going to assume that you're a machmir? No, he's going to assume you're lazy. Meaning, look, there are plenty of lazy people out there. And the fact that he's not working over here, that's not indicative of the fact that he's being firmer than we are. It's indicative of the fact that he's lazy. And it's not going to create machlokas. Just because you're going to be lazy, it won't result in machlokas. Okay. So according to Rava, so the two points of the Mishnah are in perfect agreement in both scenarios. Okay. With all that stated, we're going to continue in the Gemara. Now, I made mention that the practical application of this idea of traveling and minhagim is going to affect us most as it relates to 1 day, 2 days of Yontif. In Eretz Yisrael, so the observance of 1 day of Yontif, outside of Eretz Yisrael, the observance of 2 days of Yontif, and what are you traveling? And this happens all the time in both directions. So what should you do? So in terms of the practical halacha, so once again, I'm going to reiterate, so in that you need to seek rabbinic guidance and rabbinic counseling. You go to your local Orthodox Rav and you ask him what to do. Vis-a-vis the Gemara, so I mentioned that the Gemara doesn't discuss it. So I'm going to modify. The Gemara doesn't discuss it in the manner in which we are used to hearing the question. But there will be a small discussion of the Gemara that deals with one scenario. Amalei Rav Safra, and let's begin. Amalei Rav Safra le Rav Abba. Kagon ana di adina b'kviya diyarcha. You know, I know Kviya Diyarcha. I know when Rosh Chodesh is. Now, the way he says it, it makes it sound like I have some sort of intimate knowledge of the calendar better than other people. It's not to be understood that manner. It just simply means that I come from a community where we observe 1 day of Yontif. Meaning, as we know, in terms of Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Chodesh has the possibility of being either the 30th or 31st day of the previous month. And before the calendars were fixed, about 1700 years ago, approximately. So before the calendars were fixed, so the Rosh Chodesh is going to be a function of when Beis Din decides when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Part of the decision of Beis Din is going to be when Adim come. Okay, and there's a lengthy discussion in terms of whether that is going to be the main indicator of when Beis Din is going to determine where Rosh Chodesh is. Is that going to be a contributing factor? Okay, not for now. But meanwhile, however, there was a time historically right, a long time historically, where Rosh Chodesh was going to be based on Beis Din's decision and determination. So if you live within proximity of Beis Din, so now when Beis Din says it's Rosh Chodesh, so you're going to know. If you live away from Beis Din, so you're not going to know. And b'mehir b'yameinu, when Mashiach comes, and we're going to operate, presumably we're going to operate with a calendar where Beis Din's going to make the determination, so we have now instant communication, right? Something where 1,700 years ago, people only dreamed about. But, okay, we are, right, we're living in this futuristic society. So anyway, so good. So, and in Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be discussing extensively, right, the Shluchei Beis Din going out, reporting to the masses when Rosh Chodesh was determined, but obviously they're going to be limited to how far they can get there and travel, given that they're only from Rosh Chodesh till Yontiv, right, for two of the Yomim Tovim, right, Pesach and Sukkos, they have a limited number of days in which they can travel. Okay, anyway, right, just a crash course in Kriyas Rosh Chodesh. Rav Safra, when he's talking to Rabbi Abba, and he says, I know Kriya D'Yarcha, it just simply means that I'm from a community where we observe one day of Yontif. Okay, fine. And B'Yishuv, Lo Avdina Mimnei Shino Amachlokas. So he says, look, I understand that when I'm traveling to a place where there are 2 days of Yontif, where they're observing 2 days of Yontif, so I certainly understand. So for me to go ahead and to observe only one day of Yontif, that's going to bring about machlokas. I totally get it. And so therefore, I'm not going to do malacha on the second day of Yontif in a location of where they observe 2 days of Yontif. I get that. However, b'midbar mai, but he says, but I do have a wonderful question, and that is, let's say I'm not in a community. Let's say I find myself on Yontif Sheni to be in the desert, right, in an uninhabited location. So amalei hachamer of ami b'yishav aser b'midbar mutar. So he says, okay, so I'm telling you, this is what I have a tradition from Rav Ami, and that is that your practice of observing a second day of Yontif, you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael, and now you are in a community where they're observing a second day of Yontif, so under those circumstances, so you should practice, you should not do malacha in public. However, b'midbar mutar, but if you're out in a, if for the second day of Yontif, you're in an uninhabited area, so it would be mutar. So, Rav Nasan bar Asya Azial mi bei Rav lepumpadisa b'yantav sheni shalat zeres. So the Gemara tells one more story regarding this episode or this kind of scenario of Rav Nasan bar Asya, where he goes from his yeshiva to Pumbadisa on yantav sheni shalat zeres on Shavuos. Now it doesn't say exactly what he did on the second day of Yantav, meaning what did he violate malacha in public? So it doesn't say it. It could very well be that just the travel in of itself is what he did, which was wrong, meaning he came from outside of Tchum, right? Tchum is going to be an Isser, both on Shabbos and on Yontif. He came from outside of Tchum. That could be the issue, regardless of what the issue is. So he degraded Yontif Sheni in Pumbedisa, even though he himself was a Ben Eretz Yisrael, but still. So Shamti Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, okay, so the person's Mezalfi Yontif Sheni, so Rav Yosef put him in Chayrim. So Amalei Abayev Ulenagde Mar Negide. So he says, look, putting him in Chayrim, okay, you excommunicate him, that's great. How about giving him Malkus? Right, people who violate Isur Derabbanan are subject to Malkus. Right, the Gemara in the beginning of Kedushin. Rav Manget Amanda Mekadosh Bebiya. There's an Isur Derabbanan that a man's not allowed to be Mekadosh a woman Bebiya. If you understand that, great. If not, Wait till we get to the Gemara, beginning of the Gemara Kedushin. Anyway, Malkus for people who are violating Yisur Durabanan. So over here, you have the practice of a particular Amora who's violating Yisur Durabanan. He put him in Chayrim, right? And I think you should give him Malkus. Amalei Adifa Abdilei. So he says, no. Chayrim is literally better, but better over here meaning it's stronger. De Bimarava. Mimnu anigida debar be rav velo mimnu ashamta, because out there in Eretz Yisrael, so for bar be rav for a talmid chacham, for a yeshiva student, so they would give him malchus, but they wouldn't give him chayrim, meaning that by if you have a young talmid chacham who for whatever reason is deserving of a correction, so what they would do is they would give him malchus, they wouldn't give him chayrim. What does that tell you? It tells you that malchus is milder, even though obviously it's more, it's physically obviously it's more painful, But nevertheless, it's a milder form of punishment. So for Barbe Rav, for yeshiva students, so we're going to give them the milder version, right? In other words, by virtue of the fact that we're still going to have Kavada Rav, even though we're in a situation where he deviated and he needs correction, and all that may be the case, but we're going to give him the lighter form of punishment, and that's going to be Malkus. So you see that in general, Cherem is a more severe form of punishment. Cherem is, right nowadays, excommunication, we don't feel it. But we live we live with no unifying governmental agency, right? We don't have a Beis Din. So for us, a person's put in cherem. Okay, so for us, we don't feel the severity of cherem. But meanwhile, back in the day, and we're going to see this a lot at the end of Moed Katan, in the third perek, it was a really serious event when somebody was put in cherem. And so over here, so he said, look, when the person was mezalzel on Yantav Sheni, I put him in cherem. In other words, that's much more serious. Ika d'amre nagde Rav Yosef. So in another version, so we have that Rav Yosef actually gave Malkus. Amalei Abai Nisham Temar. The Rav Ushmal d'amre Tavai Menaden al Shnei Yamim Tovim Shogalios. So he says, why not put him in cherem? When somebody is being mevazed, someone's degrading Yantav Sheni Shogalios, so we put him in cherem. Amalei Hanimili Nishama. So he says, yeah, you know what? You're right. Cherem is, generally speaking, the correct way to approach somebody who's mevazeh Yantav Sheni. That's true. But Achatzur b'midrabananu, the Tavalei Avdei, the Mamarav Mimnu Anagasa, the Barbe Rav, Volo Mimnu Ashamta. So he says, look, you're right. And generally speaking, cherem would be the appropriate response. However, he's also Tamar Chacham, so you got a balance. On one hand, he's a Tamar Chacham, he's Mevazi Yantav Sheni. He really does deserve cherem. Excommunication, however, by virtue of the fact that he's a Tamar Chacham, so we're going to mitigate a little bit the onus, and we're not going to give him cherem, we'll just give him Malkus. Okay. So just the smallest story that we get here in the Gemara and Pesachim regarding a Ben Eretz Yisrael going to Chutz Aretz and the idea that he's not to be Mevazi Yantav Sheni Shogalios. Now, practically speaking, what does that mean? So certainly what it means, the Gemara says very clearly, is that when he's B'yishuv, is that when he's in public, so he's not to violate Malachas in public. That clearly is what it means. What does it mean privately? What can he do privately? How does he daven? Right? There are so many follow-up questions that need explanation. We're going to go on in the Gemara, but in other words, it's just really just a scratching of the surface. Okay. Kayotze bo hamolach per shvius. And here we are now at the end of the Mishnah. So you go back to the Mishnah where we started our discussion on Nun Amud Beis. And so the Mishnah over here says that you follow minhaga makom. In other words, on the other hand, you also have to be cognizant of the chumras of both the place that you are currently in and the place where you came from. Okay. No sin alav chumre makom shiyatza masham chumre makom shalach lusham. And again, the mission went on to say that what you should not do is deviate because of machlokas. How does it work exactly? That is challenging. We touched on that in the Gemara. And then kayotzebo. The mission gives another example of minhagim. So kayotzebo, the next case of the mission is the following. And that is, you have perish shvius. Any fruit during the Shemitah year, so it has kedusha shvius, which means that you're allowed to eat it. You're not limited to where you can eat it. You can eat it anywhere within Eretz Yisrael. But because it has kedusha shvius, so that means to say that it's going to be subject to a mitzvah of biur. Now, we talked about this in the Mishnah. Let's just quickly review. The idea behind biur is as follows, is that when the produce, the perish shvius under discussion, is no longer available out in the field, so now it's subject to the mitzvah of biur peiros shvius. You have to get rid of it. What does that mean exactly? So as I pointed out, some machlokes between the Rishonim. The Rambam's of the opinion that biur peiros shvius means you have to dispose of it, you have to destroy it. Right? Just like biur chametz you have to destroy, so biur peiros shvius you also have to destroy as well. Shitas ha-Rambam. The Ravid says no, that for biur peiros shvius, so the truth of the matter is that When Shemitah was in full force, so the Ravid's opinion is that there are actually going to be stages of biur. Bizmaninu nowadays, where Shemitah nowadays is a din derabanan, so for us what biur means is that you're simply going to be mafkirit. Anyway, whatever the case is, there comes a point in time where biur must be done. Now, what if you are, during the Shemitah year, moving location from one to another? And obviously when it comes to the end of a season for a particular fruit or vegetable, so it's going to be dependent on where you are. Later this morning, we're going to learn how Eretz Yisrael is divided into three different sections. And so the deadline of and the mitzvah of beer is going to be different depending on which geographical location you are currently in. So the Mishnah says, and what if you're moving from one location to another? So the Mishnah says, I'll tell you what you do. What you do is you follow the chumras of either location, either the location you came from or the location you go to. The Mishnah says, Amolch be'er shviyas mimakum shekalu l'makum shelokalu, o mimakum shelokalu l'makum shekalu chayv l'vayr. So according to the Tanakam and the Mishnah, you follow chumras hamakum of either the place you came from or the place that you're currently in. That is the shita of the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tseva Havelecha Afata. Now Rabbi Yehuda has an opinion, that much we know. What his opinion is, it's really unclear. So in the Mishnah, what we did when we read the Mishnah is I just simply read the Mishnah. I didn't translate Rabbi Yehuda, as I now know, right? As I knew then as well, but I know even better now that we're going to have a lot of opinions in our Gemara. Exactly what does Rabbi Yehuda actually mean? There are going to be a lot of different explanations, and it will really take up the majority of today's daf. So we are in Nun Beis Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots Kayote Bo Amalch Be'er Shvias. And we're going to be discussing now the Shita of Rav Yehuda and what exactly he means. But Leithle Le Rav Yehuda Adina Nosin Lav Chumri Amakum Shiatza Misham V'Chumri Amakum Shalach L'Sham. Now, the Gemara right now is assuming that they know what Rav Yehuda means. So let's explain right now what the Gemara is thinking that Rav Yehuda means. Rav Yehuda means the following. Let's go back. Let's read the line of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Omer Tseva Avelecha Afata. It's a comment. And that is that when somebody comes with his Peir Shvias, and he's in a location where, it's kalu. It is now exhausted where he currently is, meaning that there's a mitzvah beer where he currently is. However, where he came from and where he brought the fruit from, so there was no, it hasn't reached the point yet of shas abir. So the way the Gemara is currently understanding Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda saying the following to his. To the place that he currently is. Hey, you want the fruit that I'm about to eat? It's very simple. Go to where I came from because it's not yet a shas beer. Say, go out va'avelecha afata, and you can go get if you want as well. Meaning, I'm not destroying my fruit. I'm going to keep my fruit. I got from a place where there's currently not yet a shas beer, and if you want some, you can go and get it where I got it from. Okay. That's right now the Gemara's current understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. And as you can imagine, that's a really difficult understanding. It is the simple reading of Rabbi Yehuda, but that's really difficult. Because remember, what's the operative position of the Mishnah? Well, the Mishnah is really giving us two basic rules. Number one, always follow the chumras of both locations. And rule number two is avoid machlokas. Now again, it gets really tricky, and as I'm pointing out, I'm oversimplifying these Gemaras, because how do you balance those two? Again, we touched on it earlier, but it's difficult. It's really a difficult balance. But one can easily imagine, however, is that if people go to you and say, "Hey, you're not allowed to eat that fruit," and you say, "Sure, I am, because this fruit is not local, right? I imported the fruit from where I came from, so I'm totally fine to eat it. In fact, if you want to eat fruit, you can go back to my hometown, you can get it from there." And you don't think that's going to lead to machlokas? And that's exactly the Gemara's question. And how could it possibly be that everyone else in this community is going to be machmir, and the person who's visiting with his out-of-town fruit, so he's going to be makel, and it's for sure going to lead to machlokas, and it goes against the rule of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you have to adopt the chumra of the place that you're currently in right now. So I'm Rav Shisha Bered Ravidi Milsachrisi Kamar Rav Yehuda Vachi Kamar. So right now the Gemara is going to say, okay, so we're going to have to now come up with a different pshat within Rav Yehuda, and here we begin now an assortment of different pshatim in Rav Yehuda. So here is going to be our first attempt of saying pshat in Rav Yehuda. This is offered by Rav Shisha Bered Ravidi. So we'll call this now number one. And that is Achi Kamar. Omi Makum Shelo Kalu La Makum Shelo Kalu V'Shamash Shekalu Bim Kamo Chayv Levayer. So here, the Mishnah over here and the debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda is going over a slightly different scenario. He brought the fruit from where he came from at the time when he picked it, so it has not yet arrived at the Shas Biur. He came to a town where it also, here where he is currently, there is no Shas Biur. So in other words, both from the place that he came from and the place that he's currently, he's allowed to eat it. And now what happened was, news comes from his hometown. And the news is, the Shas Biur has arrived. So, according to the Tanakhama, Visham Shekalu Mim Kamo Chai Vavayr. So according to the Tanakhama, okay, so the fruit that he came from, the fruit that is with him right now that he came from, has experienced Shas Biur, he needs to destroy the fruit. That's the Shita of the Chacham, Rabbi Yehuda Amer, Tzei Ve'avelecha Afata, Mehechid Aisino, V'halo Kalaluhu. So the and Rabbi Yehuda will say no. The at the time when he picked it, so it was mutter, and despite the fact that the place that he came from now is currently usher, but look where he currently is mutter. At the time that he picked it, it's mutter. So Rabbi Yehuda is now giving a kula. You're allowed to eat it. So lemeimer de Rabbi Yehuda kula kamar. The Gemara says okay. Look, it may not be a terrible pshat within Rabbi Yehuda, but we happen to have the following tradition, and that is Rabbi Yehuda is a machmir. So the Gemara says that it just happens to be that we have a tradition that Rabbi Yehuda is a machmer. So Ela Epoch. So the Gemara says fine. So we'll still offer this shot in the Mishnah. What we're just simply going to do is we're going to flip it around. It's the sheet of the Chachamim that you don't have to destroy it. Again, the place where you picked it from at the time when you picked it, well, there was no Shas Biur. The place now that you have arrived at, there's no Shas Biur. Report now, news comes from your hometown that Shas Biur has arrived. So according to the Tanakhama, you don't have to destroy it. And you could still eat it. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tzei Ve'avelecha Afata, Mehecha Daisino, Va'akala Lehu. And it's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says, look, the place where you came from, you have to destroy it. So this produce right now is subject to the Chumrah of the place that you came from. And therefore, you must destroy it. Okay. So that is one pshat within Rabbi Yehuda in a scenario which the Mishnah doesn't actually reference, but is alluded to in the Mishnah, and the Gemara here fleshes out the scenario in which you came from a place, at the time when you picked it, it was mutter, the place that you're currently in is mutter, report from your hometown now that you have entered into the Shas Biur, let's say it's simply like the Rambam, it needs to be destroyed, so do I need to destroy it? So the Tanakhama says no, Rabbi Yehuda says yes, that is all pshat number one in the Mishnah. It's a really challenging pshat, because really, ikar chasam and a sefer, meaning that case is not really spoken out in the Mishnah, and we're kind of like teasing it out of the Mishnah. Okay, that's all pshat number one. The Gemara offers now a number of other explanations. Abaye mar la'olam kediktani, v'hachi kamar, omi makam shalo kalu l'makam shakalu, v'hichziran l'im kamam, v'adayin lo kalu. So Abaye says, here's the scenario. He comes from a place where the place that he came from did not have a Shas Biur. He came to a place where there was a Shas Biur. Now what happens is that he went back home with his produce. Va'adayin lo kalu, and still his hometown has not yet experienced Shas Biur. Einu chayav l'vayr, so now there's no reason for him to destroy it. Meaning consider that although it's true that he visited a location where there was Shas Biur, but the fruit that he brought with him was from his hometown. Eventually, he went back to his hometown with that fruit. So, according to the Tanakhama, we're good. Meaning, there's no requirement of beer because the fruit comes from a place where there was no beer. There was no Shas Biur. It is now currently returned to that place. Good. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yehuda Amir Tzeva Ve'lecha Avata Mehecha Daisina Va'Kalaluhu. And Rabbi Yehuda over here now in Abaye's explanation says no. We're going to have the following chumrah. And now this is a chumrah. Meaning because the fruit, even though indigenous to the place where there was no Shas Biur, but because it was actually physically in a location where there was the Shas Biur, so that's, this fruit now takes on the chumras hamakom. And therefore this fruit is subject to Biur. Even if it's returned back to its hometown, even though now, even in the hometown, there's still not yet a Shas Biur, but because now this fruit has visited an area where there was a Shas Biur, so the fruit now will take on the Chumrah Samakom. Okay? That's a Chumrah. So Maskal Rav Ashi Rav Yehuda Atu Agav De Chumrah Kaltinu, and the Gemara just simply says, look, that's a huge Chumrah. Right? The Gemara's expression over here is it was on the back of a donkey. Meaning just because the fruit now was in the airspace of a makom where there was a shas beer, but the shas beer affects the local fruit. Just because I brought in fruit from out of town and I didn't eat it here, I brought it back home with me. So just because it entered the airspace, it was on the back of the donkey, it's going to accept now the chomer samakom. So basically, the Gemara is saying it's a fair way to understand Rav Yehuda, but that's a tremendous chomer. So Elam Rav Ashi. So now Rav Ashi is going to be offering what we're going to call now the third pshat, and that is the following: with plukta dani tonight the dana kovish shlosha kvashim bechavis achas. So it's predicated on the Mishnah Shvius in the ninth parak of Shvius. The Mishnah over there describes the following. Let's say we're pickling an assortment of different types of vegetables. And the different vegetables have different shas biur, different times of expiration. And they're all being pickled in the same jar. So what do you do? So the Mishnah here in Shvius describes a machlokas in terms of what you should do. And really, if you think about it outside, it would certainly, what would be, well, it's subject to a debate. And let's see the debate inside. We don't have to talk this out. Let's go through the Mishnah. Hakovish Losha Kvashim Bechavis Acha. So you're pickling it in one jar. Rebbe Lazar Omer, Ochlin Al HaRishon. So basically, what happens is, the first vegetable in there that has expired, meaning has experienced the Shas Biur, so that's going to affect all the other vegetables in that jar as well. That Shita's Rebbe Eliezer, obviously taking the most stringent position, and one that's quite frankly easy to defend. Because if they're being pickled in the same jar together, so obviously there is a blending of the flavors, a transference of the flavors one to the other. We do say kavash kemavushal, and so therefore, if one of the vegetables in that jar is subject to biur, so then all of them should experience biur as well. That's the Shita Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Yeshua Omer Af Ala Acharon. Now Rebbe Yeshua says no. What we're going to do is whatever the last vegetable in there is mutter will affect all the other vegetables. That admittedly is a really difficult position to defend, meaning that despite the fact that, let's say, most of the vegetables in there already have experienced shas biur, but as long as there's one vegetable in that jar that is not, so then you're allowed to eat all the vegetables in that pickle jar. Okay, difficult position to defend. That she says Rabbi Yoshua. And then Rabbi Gamliel Amar Kol, Shekala Mino Minasad de Yivar, Mino Minachavis. And Rabbi Gamliel says, look, basically it's going to be, we're going to judge each vegetable based on its own timetable. So whatever vegetable now out in the field is exhausted, so now meaning that it's a shas beer for that vegetable, so in the jar, it will be a shas beer for that vegetable in the jar. And basically, we're going to treat it per vegetable and the schedule of beer as per each of the vegetables. V'alacha kidvarav. And then the Mishnah says, no, by the way, the halacha falls like the shita of Rami Gamliel. Good. So this Mishnah over here, which brings down three opinions in terms of what you should do. And now the Gemara doesn't, that's it. The Gemara says, now go to work. And that means to say that the machlokis in our Mishnah over here, in the first Mishnah of the fourth parak of Psachim, is going to be predicated on this Mishnah over here. Meaning that we're going to line up the shitas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah to two of the shitas that we just saw together. Okay, so who goes like who? So without Rashi, quite frankly, I'd be a little bit lost. So Rashi says, "V'tan demasnitzin." So the "V'tan demasnitzin" Rabbi Yehuda ba'apligi. So and Rashi, I'm sorry, if you want to follow me in the Rashi af al ha'acharon. It's the first long line on the Amud, really long line. Rabbi Yehuda ba'apligi. The Tanakamas have a look at Rabbi Yeshua de Mekel. So the Tanakamas holding like Rabbi Yeshua, who is the more Mekel. Right, Rabbi Yeshua, of the three opinions that we learned in that Mishnah Shvius, Rabbi Yeshua is the most makel, which is that whatever vegetable has expired the latest, all the other vegetables are going to follow that vegetable's timetable. That's the Tanakama of our Mishnah. And you could read it into the Mishnah. Okay, admittedly, it doesn't read that easily into the Mishnah, but you could read into the Mishnah. Right? If only some of them have expired. So as long as there's one remaining vegetable in that pickle jar that is not expired, you can eat all the vegetables in that jar. That's the shita of the Tanakam of our Mishnah. And going like the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. and skipping a couple words of Rashi, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tseva Avelecha Afata, may also Amin Menasada Varelo Simsa Basada Vasar, Kareming Gamliel. And where does Rabbi Yehuda stand? Rabbi Yehuda stands like the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel, which is that whatever vegetable has expired out in the field is now subject to beer in the jar. And you're going to have to pick that vegetable out of the jar and do beer with that vegetable. And meaning to say that Rabbi Yehuda follows like the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. How do you read that in the Mishnah? Again, Rashi says you could read in the Mishnah. It's not super easy to do so, but you could read in the Mishnah. Okay, so now we have our third pshat of the Mishnah, and that the machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda is going to really be the machlokus between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Gamliel in that Mishnah Shvius. And that means, of course, that none of our Tanaim and our Mishnah are following like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, almost done. Ravina Amar. We're now going to go over the fourth way to explain the machlokus. Ravina Amar bepilta dani tanai dinan. And here now we have another Mishnah. Ochlin to mitamarim ashi chala achron shibit sawar. When do we say that the fruit has been exhausted in the field? When is it no longer available in the field? So for this, another machlokus, in terms of when we get to the shas beer. So we're talking here about dates. So ad sheyichala achron shebet tzor, when there are no more dates out in the town of Tzor. And Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, ochlin al shebein akipin, ve'ein ochlin al shebein ha-shitzin. And according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, only if it's between the branches, but not between the thorns. Rashi explains over here, top Rashi in the Amud Beis. Derech dekam liyos bi'ikaren kotzin saviv v'ainu shitzin. So there are a bunch of thorns at the bottom, at the base of the date tree. The umina dekel atzman hein ulamala alin shelo asuin kisidran kimin kapos tamarim. And Rashi describes that at the top of the palm tree here in Florida, you get to see plenty of them. Although truth of the matter is, we don't have date palm over here. We have other types of palm, but regardless, and towards the top of the tree you have the regular leaves. Uksharuch menasheva tamarim noflim v'nisharim ba'osam kipim ulamata b'shitzim. Now, when the wind blows, so the dates are going to fall, and what you will find is that there will be some dates get stuck in the thorn at the base of the tree. And the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is that when do we say that the season is over? When there's no more on the top of the palm tree. Meaning, even though there may be some stuck in the bottom of the palm tree by the thorns, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says those don't count. You don't register them as being the end of the season. And the reason why is because when do we say that the season is over? When animals no longer are able to gain access to those fruit. And we're talking about the dates at the bottom of the palm tree where there are thorns over there. There's no way that animals can get to it. Good. And Rashi goes on to say, and now, again, because the Gemara doesn't do any of the work, so Rashi now is going to finish up the point of the Gemara, and that is the Tanakama Kala Lagamri Afmi Veina Shitzim, Chayv Lavayr, Avakalam and Akipim Vadan Yesh Beshitzim and Chayv Lavayr. And so the opinion of the Tanakama is that the Tanakama of our Mishnah here is going to take the more makel approach, which is any date still means that the fruit is still in season, even if it's at the base of the tree. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Tseva Avelecha Afata Mimakam Aruli Lamblo Timsa Ulechomer Amar Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. Accessibility, availability of the fruit means that it has to be on an area of the tree that's easy to access, i.e. the top of the tree. But if there are only dates on the bottom of the tree by the thorns, that means that season's over and there's a mitzvah of biur. So that means to say that Rabbi Yehuda just simply looks at the Shas Beer at an earlier point in time than that of the Tanakama, which is really reflective of these positions that we just saw in the Mishnah in Shvi'is. Okay, and we'll put a marker over here at this section of the Gemara, which is now we are finished with most of today's daf, in that the question was, what is the machlokus in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama regarding the Shas Beer? And we have just offered now four different explanations of what Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing about. Either number one, in the unspoken case of the Mishnah, where the place that I come from has an experienced Shasbir, the place that I've arrived at has also not experienced Shasbir, and then I receive a phone call, or the historical equivalent of a phone call, that the place where I came from has just entered Shasbir. What will I say regarding the fruit? That's one way to explain the machlokes between Tanakama and Rav Yehuda, where the Tanakama is a makel, Rav Yehuda is a machmer. That's one possibility. A second possibility is Abai's explanation, where the place where I came from did not have Shasbir. I brought it to a place where it did have Shasbir, but then I went back home. And because the fruits now were in the location where there was a Shasbir, so the Rav Yehuda is telling us is that it's going to take on the Chumras HaMakom. Again, as we pointed out, a tremendous Chumra by Rav Yehuda, and just because it's in the airspace of a Makom, it takes on the Chumras HaMakom. Rav Ashi didn't love it. Rav Ashi says that really is too big a Chumra. Rav Ashi offered a third pshat. The machlokis of the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda is the same machlokis as in the Mishnah in the ninth paragraph of Shviz, regarding various vegetables in the pickle jar, and when are we allowed to eat all the vegetables in the vegetable jar, being that the end of the season for each one of them is different. It varies. And which one is the jar going to follow? Good. That's a third explanation of the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. And finally, number four, which we just did, is when is the Shas beer kick in? When is the time when is the season being over going to qualify as the end of the season? Kala minasad, it finishes from the field. So it's a question of accessibility of the fruit in hard to reach areas of the tree. Machlokus in the Mishnah Shviz, and the Gemara says that's our machlokus over here as well. Okay, let's quickly run through a little bit more of today's daf. I really do not want to fall far behind, so I'm going to go a little bit over time today. Tanan Hassam. We learned another Mishnah over there in Shviz. Shal Sharasus Labir, Yehuda Ve'ever, Ayarden Ve'galil. So there are three areas in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is divided in three zones, so that regarding the Shasbir, you're basically going to follow in one of three locations, either north, south, or let's assume Ever Yardame is east. Okay, so those are the, what about west? Okay, west, of course, is the Yamagado. So, Shalosh Arzos Labir Yehuda Ever Yardame Vigalo. Vishalosh Arzos Vichol Achas Vachas. Now, even within each province, both in Yehuda and Galil and Ever Yardane, so it could be even further subdivided to three. V'lamar u'shal sharatzos labir shiyu ochlim b'chol achas v'achad ad shichala acharon shaba. Now, even though each province can be subdivided, but as far as this halach of beer is concerned, so we're going to only operate with the larger sections, meaning that the region of Galil is all going to follow one time of beer, even though it could be divided into three subdivisions. Same thing with same thing with Yehuda, and same thing with Ever Yardin. And here we have the drasha, which is kozman shechaya ochelos minasada. So achol lebehema shebebayis, kala lechaya asher besada, kala lebehem tocha minabayis. So first of all, we have a drasha. The drasha tells us that when the fruit, the vegetables are no longer available for wild animals in the field, so then that is the time now where the season has come to an end, and now there's a mitzvah of biur, which means that any produce of Shemitah that has Kedushas Perishvias is brought into my house. So once it's no longer available out in the field, so now I have to destroy it in my house. Step number two is the following tradition that we have. The Gemara describes it as Gemiri. Gemiri generally means Halach LaMoshe Misinai. Over here, maybe not. Maybe over here just simply means that the Chachamim researched the matter. Whatever the case is, we have the following. And that is that the regions of Eretz Yisrael, the three different regions of Yehuda and Galil and Ever HaYarden, so the animal behaviors are different in each of those regions. Within each of the regions, so generally speaking, the animal behavior of when they eat out in the field are going to be pretty much uniform. But in terms of the regions comparative one to the other, so they're going to vary. Okay, so that's why now Eretz Yisrael regarding the Shasbir is going to be divided into three regions. Tanu Rabbanan Perish Yatzam Eretz Yisrael L'chutz Aretz Mitbarim B'chol Makom Shehein. Here the Gemara quotes a Braisa. You have Paris of Shemitah that left Eretz Yisrael, went to Chutz Aretz. So in terms of Biur, so you do the Biur B'chol Makom according to the Tanakama. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Yachzur limkamam, Vidbaru Vidbaru Mishum Shenemar Ba'artecha. So, and according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, you got to bring him back into Eretz Yisrael in order to perform bir in Eretz Yisrael. So, ha'afikte. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. We already darshan the word ba'artzecha, meaning the previous drasha, regarding determining when the Zman Bir is going to begin. And now you're making another drasha of ba'artzecha that you have to bring any pair of shvias that was exported outside of Eretz Yisrael back into Eretz Yisrael in order to experience Bir. So the Gemara says, kari ba'aretz ba'artzecha. So the Gemara says, yeah, two drashas, it's possible. So one is that we're going to be darshaning one from Aretz and the other one from Artzecha. Okay, which drasha goes to which? The Gemara doesn't articulate. Inami ma'asher ba'artzecha, or maybe it's from the extra word from the word asher. Rav, safra nafa, nafak me'eretz yisrael l'chutz aretz, and hava ba'adei garba d'chamra d'shvias. So the Gemara, we're going to finish off today with the following story. And that is the story regarding Rav Safra. Rav Safra had wine with him that came from grapes of the Shemitah year, meaning the wine had kedushas shvias. And love about it, Ravuna Bered Ravik of Rav Kahana. So and he was accompanied by a couple of other Amaraim. Amar Luhu Ika Dishmialei Mine de Rabbi Abba Allah Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Allah. Okay, now the Shas Bir has arrived. And now his question is really simple. Does he have to go back into Eretz Yisrael in order to perform the mitzvah of beer to the wine in Eretz Yisrael? Simple question. And really what the question is predicated on is, do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar or do we not? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had a drasha that says that you do have to go back into Eretz Yisrael. And so Rav Kahana's question is really simple. Rav Safra's question is very simple. Do I have to go back into Eretz Yisrael? So Amalei Rav Kahana, Hachi Amar Rabbi Abba, Alachika Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So Rav Kahana quotes, and Rav Kahana says, in the name of Rabbi Abau, that the halacha does in fact follow like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, meaning fortunately we have to follow halacha, but unfortunately for you, you're going to have to go back into Eretz Yisrael. So Amalei Rav Huna Bered, Rav Ika, Hachi Amar Rabbi Abau, Ein halacha ke Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So Rav Huna says, well, that's funny. You know what I heard in the name of that the halacha does not follow like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, now you can understand now at this point in time Rav Safra is confused. So Am Rav Safra nokot haklala de Rav Huna biyadecha. So Rav Safra says in this regard. So now should I be listening to Rav Kahana? Should I be listening to Rav Huna? So Rav Safra says, you know who I should be listening to? So I should be listening to Rav Huna. Now we'll say parenthetically Rav Huna is the makel. So, but the Gemara itself is going to note that in just a moment. But he says, I'm going to follow like Rav Huna. Why? Because the Daig v'gamer shmaitatam mipuma de rabbe kirachva b'pumma disa. Because it happens to be that as Rav Huna as a student is concerned, and his attention to detail, well, he is as careful in terms of listening and writing down. I don't know if they took notes. I assume they did. But he was as careful and attentive as Rachva was in Pumbedisa. Da'ama Rachva Amar Rav Yehuda Harabai Stav Kafol Hayastav Lefnim Istav. So, and the Gemara gives an example regarding Rachva and how meticulous he was in terms of writing everything down. He says, you know, in Yehuda, it was Stav Lifnim Istav. It's not perfectly clear over here how that is indicative of the fact that it was how careful he was. You can see Rashi over here who offers a pshat anyway. So Kari Ale Rav Yosef Imo Beitzo Yishal Umakli Yagilo Kolam Megilo Magilo. And the Gemara notes now that Rav Safra had a choice of either going with the more makel pshat or the more machmir pshat in terms of whether we follow like Rav Shimon ben Elazar or we don't. And not only did he go with Rav Huna, was more makel, but he even praised Rav Huna. And the Gemara notes that, yeah, you know what? That's the behavior of some people, that they praise the pshat that is offered that is more makel. Okay. And the Gemara, I don't think the Gemara is saying it in a sarcastic manner or in a critical manner. But anyway, good. That's how the Gemara ends. Okay. Adkan, we'll stop over here. And tomorrow I'll do a little bit more review. We are over time.